If it's okay, I want to pray first before we start. And Father, God, you know me, and I know a lot of the folks here know me. You know my mind goes a whole lot of different directions. And Father, this morning I want to be a honoring son. I want to glorify you in words. And so, Father, I ask that you'd help us, not just me, but us, to hear again as Michael prayed what you would have for us. And that God, where I know that often I'm not quite sufficient on certain things, that you would step in that weakness and fill those parts in, that you would have us to know and to learn. And I thank you because you are that good God, and that you do. You care. You know each one of us. And God, I want to just honor you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So good morning. There's a good start right there. Drop something. That's okay. So we were going to have some pictures. And we had a busy week. So I'm making excuses. That's the other big start, right? That's not a good way to start. Excuses. We had a Fir Point Bible Camp. I am not a technical type person, and most of those people were at Fir Point. And then yesterday, we had this thing called a fire. So I don't have pictures for you yet, but that's okay. I'm going to try to give you some pictures in your mind, okay? I'd like to talk a little bit more about some of our experience. Last Sunday, we went through, and I can't even remember what all. Literally, I am still processing. We are still processing what we went through in our brief stay, very brief stay in China. I am not an expert by any sense of the imagination on what is going on there. I pay a lot of attention. I'm not an expert. I'm going to just put that right out in front. But there was some things that kind of hit us in a very big, hard way. And I'd like to talk at least about one of those today. And knowing how my mind works, it might branch out into other things. So if I do that, just bear with me, all right? And let's move forward with that. So I would like to start with a scripture. That's always a good way to start, right? And this is going to be, I'm going to admit it straight up front, I'm going to pull this out of context in some ways, but it is a properly used scripture in other ways. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 2. This comes from Paul addressing the Corinthians. Actually having to get after them. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And it goes on to I'll keep reading. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And he goes on talking about his condition when he had been with the Corinthians at first, presenting the gospel and training them. And now he's got to go on to do some corrective measures. I'm not going to say that I was in like exactly what Paul's position is there. But I'll tell you what, I definitely felt like I was in a very vulnerable place in a country far away with a whole lot of people I didn't speak the same language of, and very much relying and realizing how much desperately I needed God and his help, or God would have to come through because I didn't have it. We didn't have it. But out of that, it brought a few things to light. So I'm going to just tell you straight off the bat, one of those big things I learned is, and it's going to be a question, because I still got a whole lot of questions. I came back with probably more questions than answers. And is Jesus enough? Is he enough? And I'm going to give some examples of some of what I saw, some interesting things. There's going to be some rabbit trails, and hopefully we tie them back together, okay? Who knows if we'll get there. But is Jesus enough? And that's what Paul, in his first approach, by his words to the Corinthians, he presented Jesus. Jesus crucified, Jesus raised from the dead. He presented Jesus. And when Paul, by the way, when he says, not in superiority of speech, that doesn't mean that he didn't use a lot of words and stuff, but he didn't try to get overly fancy with them. And I think too often we come in with a whole lot of extra answers when sometimes we should be asking a few more questions, right? And sometimes so I'm going to give you a few examples. Let's talk a little bit about some of the stuff I saw there, and I'm going to do my very best not to get political. It's hard. It's hard when there's people that you love there in such a place. There's our family there. So I saw, here's a few pictures I don't have to put up on a board for you, but here's a few pictures. I've been to China about 7 years ago, and while I was there, I got to go tour around the city of Beijing. And while I was there, we went through what's called the Forbidden City. Forbidden City is it's their emperor palace. It's like a mile long. It's this huge, massive. It's the heart of Beijing. It's the center. Tiananmen Square is right out in front. By the way, over the top of the entrance is Chairman Mao's picture superimposed over, well, anyway, culture. But I'd been there 7 years before. We're walking into this ancient, really old place. And as we're walking in this time, I was like, something's different here. Well, there's a lot of different things happen in China this time that I went. Something's different. And I don't remember it being this easy to walk, this smooth. And it seems like it was a lot rougher. Well, sure enough, a little while later, we see this little group of guys over there tearing out old stones and putting in fancy new flat stones in this historic place, making it better. That's a little bit of a picture of China. Not all Chinese. Don't get me wrong. Some of it's government, some of it's people, but there's how things are viewed there. There was another interesting little incident in Xi'an, where Cherry's family was, and that was really neat to be with them. And we kept the heart of Xi'an. Xi'an was prior to Beijing. Xi'an was the original dynasty capitals, the first emperor of China. That's where it was based, was in Xi'an. There are city walls that are still there. It's really cool. It's still a big intact loop. But some of it I could understand. If you want to drive a bus through a city wall, you're going to have to do some adjusting. I get some of that. But we went down and we took a walk on this city wall, this ancient, ancient structure. That goes back about 2,000 years. Yeah, right around in there. And as we're going up in this wall, I'm like going, okay, when are we going to hit the original? Where is that? And you can look at the stones and the rock, and you can see after a while, and you had to get out of the way a little bit, and you could find where some of the actual original structure was. A lot of it, again, they had prettified. No, that's not a word. They had improved it. They had taken an original, yes, maybe rough-looking, but it was authentic. That's what it was. And they had dressed it up so it looked so much better. We saw the same thing on the wall. We climbed up on a part of the Great Wall. And as I was bringing up this morning, the Great Wall of China it's a really impressive thing when you're driving along and you just see that there's that wall and it's up on. So think of our little ridgetops and mountaintops here. And along that ridgetop, keeping us separate from California or wherever it is, You've got this, it's not just this mountain going up, then you got this wall on top of that, right? And a lot of that wall is actually, a lot of that up there is original, but there's portions of it, again, that when we went to visit this wall, and by the way, that wall is the world's longest cemetery. As the workers were working on it, if they died, and most of them were slaves or conscripted labor, like people that were in debt, and it was horrible conditions, and if they just became part of the rubble, there's no markers saying who's where. It is just that's a tidbit for you, okay? That's a cultural thing, but that's the world's longest cemetery. But here's this wall, and to go, you're going up on it, and it's like, where's the original? Where's the bones? I want to see the old rocks, not the new rocks. Yeah, the new rocks help you get up onto it and to get moving around. But where is the original part of this thing? And this kind of a thing we saw over and over and over there, how there would be something. And one of the things we found there in China was when we stayed in Xi'an, we were in this like five-bedroom apartment-ish type thing in an old part of town. We loved the people. We loved to be around the people. It was an old neighborhood. I think we brought that up last Sunday. The people are down there. The guys are down there playing their tile games, and they're aggressive. I mean, you got a group of 20 or 30 guys. And there's two guys in the middle, and there's money moving around, and they're loud, and there's guys over there, whatever they're saying. I don't know what it was. It's like, this is cool. This is the real deal. This is real China. You go down to a storefront, and I like to go buy they have Chinese pancakes, and I'm like, built this relationship with this one particular stand, and he'd see me coming, and he'd light up with a grin, and we got to be friends. We never spoke the same language. That was a real deal, right? Those are the people. That was genuine. Genuine. I love that genuine interaction with the people. Not a facade. But you get on the roads, the freeways, whether it's from the airport or most anywhere you go, and they got all these trees they put in, which we kind of do some here. Sometimes we put up walls for sound barriers, but they got a whole lot of stuff they don't want you to see. And they take their piles of rubble or whatever, something that may look a little unsightly, and they put this green netting, like camouflage over stuff. I saw from the airplane, okay, I know what's behind those trees. There's something, there's a real China out there. There's something real. One of the ones that really then, I mean, and again, I didn't go to Xi'an before my first trip, but seeing some of the changes and some of the things there, but some of these things are just the Chinese. They're really good at copying. They're wonderful people, and they're good at copying stuff. And now, in so many ways, it's about being better, but it's not being real. And what they appreciate as a culture, we saw a sign of this. We stayed. So William's family, when we were in Beijing, we spent two nights in Beijing itself, more in the city. And then two nights, they rented a house out in this resort area. And then our last night was back at a hotel in town. But in this resort, we drive out, past the Great Wall. I got to see the Great Wall a whole bunch. And I drive through these mountains down over across this big reservoir over to this, the city. There's huge buildings there. And they have this old West town. Right? This is horrendous. It's some multi-level marketing group, I think, is who it's tied in with. And they got this psychosomatic museum and institute thing there. And they got this West town that none of it makes sense if you've actually lived in America, quite honestly. It's kind of ridiculous. It is fake, and it's fake, and it's fake. And here in this fake Western town, here's this church. And it has a cross on the top, which is like, in Beijing, we didn't see crosses on any buildings, by the way. Just a quick little report. That is a very real thing of those symbols being taken out. But this building, I don't think the government has to worry about it, because you can't get in it anyway. They say there's a church you can go to, but we couldn't get in. And there wasn't anybody else to meet there, so it wasn't church. It was just a prop. Pretty good sized prop. But here we are in this western town and this tribe of Arenda and all of their stuff that they're pumping up and putting out. And the last day we were there, the kids and then we were going to go swimming at the pool. And William's parents, so I have to, Bill and Janet, they choose American names to make it easy for us. So thank you for them. Bill says, hey, there's a nature trail. And he knows that I was like dying to get, so it was smog and all that stuff. I could really use a little quiet walk. And they said, there's a nature trail behind here, and we want to go walk on it. We heard about it, and would you like to go? Sure, just a nature trail. He didn't know much about it. And so we go, he goes, gets the tickets, we go back, and we go through this gate, turn our tickets on. I'm thinking the tickets for a trail, but I start seeing signs that make me a little bit excited. Because behind this trail goes up to a series of cave dwellings. I'm like, yeah. And these go back over 1,000 years. And here, carved in several faces of this semi-decomposed granite, hand-carved in, were these, like, dwellings. And you could actually go in them and be watched on the camera, because there's surveillance cameras everywhere, even up there. The quietest place I found, and this is not kidding, the quietest place I found in China was right there. It was maybe a half a mile or more walk back up in there. It was Bill, Janet, and me. The only other people we saw up there was on our way out. We were almost out with some maintenance people, probably walking in to make sure we didn't drop any litter or something. There was nobody out there to see the real article. There was a whole lot of people right below that. Literally, you walk, you're in this Arenda village thing, and you go from there through this gate up into these old, ancient, original dwellings. Yeah, they didn't really advertise it, but people didn't seem to care anyway. They'd rather have that fake, phony front. And I think it makes me think, so I'm just going to go there. It's where my heart and mind have been a lot on this. I've actually brought it up here in talking in the past about my cousin and her husband in Fresno starting a little house church type of thing. And the church that they're coming from, that they'd been involved with, that they'd helped start, and just how that it's so... It's so big, but it's so dead. So right before, so it was Monday we flew out, Sunday before that, we drove Saturday down to Fresno, stayed at my cousin's house, and they said, Cliff family, please go to, we're going to go to church. This Sunday we're going to go there. They've been looking around at other churches, but they're actually going to start one in their own living room. But we've talked about these things in a very heartfelt way that, they said, would you just come and see what we're talking about? And we went into a $1.4 million building. It's all fancy with pillars and great big pieces of flagstone with scripture on those mounted up on the walls. It has its own cafe. It has its own coffee shop. It has its own courtyard. We go in, and there's actually some really neat, genuine people, I think, in there. But we go in, and there's the praise group up there, the band. There's not really anybody singing. There's maybe 200 people in attendance, a little bit less than that day. I'm just like, I love church. I like visiting churches. Get me around some Jesus people. And that's what I love to do. And so even though they've been telling me, talking about some of the stuff going on, I'm in there going, yeah, but there's got to be some, there's going to be some, there's connections here. I just felt weird. And it's not just about how I feel, okay? I'm not just saying that. It's not about only that. But God gives us senses, right? God lets us in on stuff. And we go in and we go to this service and it's praise time. But they had already filled me in on that the guy that leads worship, okay, now wrap your brain around this, the worship leader, he's paid. And he shows up Sunday morning, makes sure he does the practice thing with the rest of the group. It's all scripted. All scripted. Down to the itty-bittiest part. And he does the worship thing. And then right after that, he goes into his office where he sits until after service is over, where he picks up his check and goes to his next gig. But I'm expected for him to lead me in worship? That's not worship. He did a gig. Now I can go into church. I'm going to jump. I'm always diverting. We should come in. That's a little side thing. With worship in our heart, I can still worship regardless of what that guy's doing. And I'm learning that in my life, okay? I have some biases against maybe certain types of music, don't we all? Or most of us. And I'm learning in my own heart to not let my biases stop me from worshiping God. And sometimes maybe a particular writer or whatever. But if the words are right, I can still in my heart worship God. But I was in there and I was having just this wall in my heart going, this is a big act. This is a huge act. Then the pastor wasn't there that day. Up on the screen, the big fancy screen, which eventually we'll get a big fancy screen, bigger than this, I'm sure, yeah. Up on the screen, the pastor, who was not that there that day, they project, hey, everybody, sorry, I can't be there. And I'm like going, whoa, I've just got this odd little sense going on here. He had some other family business to take care of. But I'm leaving you, and it's all the super, super smiles and happy. I'm leaving you in good hands with whoever, the guy that then spoke and used the grand total, which I'm not using a huge amount of scriptures this morning, by the way. But it's like, I was a confusing message. It was Father's Day and he talked about something, but he used like 6 scriptures total and none of them in context, literally grossly out of context. And I'm going, I came out of there just kind of grieved in my spirit. You see, it's not just in China. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is burning in my heart. And I might not have a whole lot of scripture to present this morning, but you go do the digging. It's all there. It's words full of that. But I want the genuine article. I want the real deal. I want Jesus. You see, we do Jesus plus. Well, if we can get this and that going, we get, it's okay to have a nice song and it's okay to have a big screen. But if you're counting on that stuff, so often we mask the true Jesus. We could take this to so many other places, and I'm not wanting to go all those places. I'm not saying that it's wrong to have a big church. That would be absolutely wrong of me to say that. But I'm saying that too often, that's where things go. We start counting on it looking better. As I open up this word, we can look through there and we can find all kinds of gross things. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Right? The Bible's full of all kinds of ugliness that people did. It's not sugar-coated over, is it? My life, should it be sugar-coated over? Well, if I'm trying to dress it up, then I would become what? I'd become an actor. A hypocrite, right? So some of this stuff is literally pushing back in on what... I'm going to jump over to a little bit of another thing. Okay, let's see where we're at time-wise. We are almost out of time, literally. Good thing I looked at my clock. While I was there, a couple men I met, and I'd like to talk about... That's a whole nother conversation, but a couple guys that we were trying to get with William, And one of them, Elisha, was asking about the church in America. Here I was there looking, and I was upset because I was seeing all these historical things getting made better, no longer being genuine what they were, because the roughness sometimes is what the authenticness is. And here they are asking me about, they're hearing the church in America, what's it look like? Well, I had just literally come from this other service the week and a half before. And I said, depends where you're at. Now, this little congregation, I'm not trying to beat up on anybody here, but I'm just asking you to keep your eyes open and look in and see. Because it depends on each of us, doesn't it? It's what do you bring to church? What do I bring to church? And as we come in, there are a lot of other things to talk about. But as Paul talked about there, I'm going to jump back over there because that's how I try to keep on track. I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. When we're going to boil it down, when we're going to take it down to its essence of what is real, if Jesus Christ, Him crucified, if He's not raised from the dead, we got nothing. We're just putting a wall in front of a Western city somewhere that's never even seen what a cow is. I think I'm going to just have to stop right there. Just a little bit of a challenge. Look in your life. What is your culture? Each of us has our own different cultures, right? Each of us has those, our own biases. But look in your life and see, Is that there? And God help us. And I love this congregation. I honestly really do. I love coming here because there's genuine people here. There's openness here. And let's guard against that becoming the issue here, where we would try to hide things, to make it better instead of the true Jesus. That's what I want, is the true Jesus. And there's my quick little report that way. I'm sure there's a whole lot of other stuff up in this noggin. I don't know if I'll ever get to talk to. And maybe someday we'll get some pictures up here. But it's not just in China where they're fake. Okay? It's not just in China. And let's pray real quick. And Father, God, help us to know your words, to know you in a genuine way. God, to appreciate you in a genuine way. Help us to, in our own lives, to see what things we are. Sometimes even in my life, I see and try to coat over something and put a better picture on it than what it is. But Father, you call us to honesty. And if we do that, you have your advocate there, Jesus Christ, your Son, that takes our recognition of who we are, and He accepts that and presents that to you as though we are fully clean. He puts on us the best possible face that we could possibly have. God, help us to not let this thing encroach here. God, I also want to lift up, and I know I didn't get into a whole lot of that, but brothers and sisters there in China, what they're going through. God, my friends, Leon and Elisha, my friend Grace, my friend Annie, and Lord, there's so many more than just them. There's others I can name. Oh, your church there, God, that you would just help them and help them not to participate in that. Help them to be honest before you. But God, that you'd also give them the support that they need. And that, God, you would just build them up in you. They're yours. Thank you for them. That you would just bless them, Lord. God, for our own members from this congregation, Cherry and William. God, as it's kind of midday here, they're probably asleep at home right now. But God, that you would bless and guard their lives and that you would build them up in you. God, that you would just help them, encourage their hearts. And if you could, for us, just bump them with our love. God, that they would know they're not just loved by you, but somehow, and I believe you could do this, you would just touch them with our heart, with our love for them. Bless Will and Cherry there. We thank you that you are a good and a gracious God and that you do love us and that you do have what is real for us. So we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.